Well, hello and welcome back. We're on for another episode of the StoneX Australian Cattle and Beef Market Report. My name is Ripley Atkinson. I'm the Australian Livestock and Commodities Manager for StoneX based in Sydney, where we're developing price risk management tools for the Australian beef industry to help the sector manage market and price volatility with our Australian feeder cattle swap. We're brought to you by StoneX Group, a NASDAQ-listed global financial services network with 100 years of experience in global commodity markets. Remember that the trading of derivatives, such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps, may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative results. Good to be back on today. Recently, I've been getting some questions from a number of different people wanting to hear and understand a bit more about StoneX as a business, who we are and what we do. Fortunately, this week, we are lucky to have the Group CEO, Philip Smith, who's based in London, down spending some time in the Sydney office with the Australian team. And I thought no better way to have that conversation than with Philip himself. I'll finish up post this chat with some market stuff, but Philip, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be on my first podcast with you, Ripley.
Cool. Mate, to give us a bit of background on yourself, your history with the company, and obviously your role with StoneX.
So I took over as a group CEO in December of 2024, having been with the company since 2004. Mm-hmm. So a long period of time with StoneX. We've seen various name changes, iterations and reiterations of the business. But I previously was the CEO of Europe, Middle East and Africa before taking over the group role. I've seen the company grow from, we like to say, from an acorn to a well-established oak that continues to, grow substantially, expand its product offering, expand its footprint. And we like to talk on a regular basis about the ecosystem that is StoneX.
And on that growth, even, I've only been with the business 2 years in December, and to see the growth in the Sydney office or the Australian team more broadly, this year, good example, opening up the Brisbane office as well. There's been some substantial developments even in our local environment here. Share with us some of the successes of growth and how the business has gone, more recently on a broader, macro global level.
Yeah, I think Australia is an illustration of what we're seeing across the entire globe. Our footprint and capability is growing and expanding on a regular basis. You're seeing it here in Australia, where we now have three offices, Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane, and we're seeing the broader Asia Pacific footprint expand at a healthy rate that reflects the growth of our client-driven business, reflects the expansion of our product offering and capability that we're providing the market, we're providing our client base. And I think, we're seeing this across the organization globally. Now, we obviously make acquisitions along the way. We've recently announced and closed on our largest acquisition, which is RJ O'Brien, based in Chicago, with a very large global footprint, and Benchmark, which based in New York, expands our product offering in investment banking. So we see a continued organic trajectory in terms of our expansion. And we also continue to take advantage of opportunities that arise where we can make an acquisition, expand our geographical footprint, expand our client content, or maybe expand our product offering where we might have a gap in our own ecosystem. But, the common theme between, whether it's an acquisition or whether it's organic growth, it's all about providing more of a relevant service to clients and potential clients and prospects who will come and see StoneX as being that integral one-stop shop, multi-product offering that is unique in the market outside of the large bulge bracket banks.
Mm. And I think it's, you know, even looking at Australia as an example, the introduction of commodity solutions as one of, you know, one of the broader, offerings that we can support clients with, that bringing commodity solutions to Australia in itself is a good example of the growth, you know, and I really appreciate and value the way StoneX as a business can respond to what the client or the customer are requesting of us and give them a solution that meets their needs. And I think, you know, we're seeing that with commodity solutions now being based out of Brisbane, what it can do, you know, across multiple commodities, obviously grains and livestock. And I think that's a, you know, it's a pretty exciting, you know, development in itself. And it's just one example of, you know, that the change and shift in the company, and how it can help.
Yeah. And I'd say, and just to elaborate for those who don't recognize what, our commodity, StoneX Commodity Solutions is, it is our global physical business.
Yeah.
And when, people say to us, you're a very confusing, complex company. And we go, actually, you know, we don't think we are. But the physical business, in addition to our derivatives business, our commodities business, our securities business, our payments business, our retail business, you know, it is all about the ecosystem to serve our clients and providing a physical capability in addition to the ability for us to provide hedging services and access to market and access to venues for commercial customers looking to mitigate their price risk, their product exposure. It differentiates us.
Mm.
It's that level of differentiation in terms of the product offering, which you just don't find elsewhere. Mm. It just adds to how unique our ecosystem globally across the broadest probably product offering that markets will be able to, you know, service.
Mm. And I think, you know, we're talking on that. It's a good segue, you know, to consider, obviously StoneX's role, and position in the market in other parts of the world is, substantially more significant because of the background and history and whatnot. Relative to Australia, it's obviously a bit of a newer name, not necessarily in the time it's been here, but, it's not a common name when you think particularly like in the livestock space in Australia, for example. But I suppose what I'm asking is give us a bit of insight into where the success has come from and how, you know, in another market like the US, for example, where we're very strong, how that success has been developed and then obviously, you know, the growth in the US business.
Yeah, I'd say that our brand name recognition can differ from country to country, location, region, where, for example, you know, in Australia, people do know us in the grain space. Now that's great. That's one aspect. That's one part of our capability. I know, and other parts of the world, they might know us predominantly for our metals capability.
Mm-hmm.
Others may know us as a US FCM. So, you know, our objective is to be known as StoneX because of what StoneX offers, not necessarily because of certain areas of speciality. That's just the nature of our history. The fact that we often have a presence in a particular country, and Australia is a good example where, you know, we're very good in the grain space. We're renowned throughout the country, and that is very much our label. But what we want is for us to be known for everything else we'd provide.
Mm.
And the onus is on us to ensure that all the capabilities, all the products that we offer across the whole global StoneX ecosystem is available to clients in each jurisdiction, in every market where we have a physical presence and office, boots on the ground. And that's the important level of expansion and growth that we see as the direction we're heading towards and our primary objective, broadening our capability and broadening out the market's knowledge of that capability. So we'll always be known in the future as the broadest ecosystem, the number one non-bank in every area, every product, every capability. That's what we see as our primary objective and our goal.
Yeah. And I think when, you know, we talk, Philip's mentioned it, you've mentioned it a bit, you know, already, the concept of an ecosystem. And I think when we isolate that in an Australian example, we can help clients across, you know, they might have a grains or a mixed farming business that runs, you know, cattle and crop. We can help them with their risk management on grains and on cattle, then on the physical commodity as well. And it could also, you know, assist them through obviously the expansion of our team in carbon and that space as well. You know, so they're coming to us to do one thing, but we can help them with, you know, half a dozen different things. I think that's very powerful.
And they might have an FX exposure if they're trading internationally. They might be making third-party payments and therefore might be of, you know, relevance to our payments capability. And equally, this could be an area of interest to our institutional client base who maybe want to have some sort of exposure to this, the cattle space, the broader commodity space. And having that insight, that capability and that, you know, detailed knowledge is useful for even, you know, the institutional client base who perhaps are not, you know, familiar, but are able to become more familiar and therefore hopefully potentially gain an exposure through us.
Yeah. And I think it, you know, it's that intense focus on helping the customer, connecting the client to markets, opening up new markets, if that's what's required, you know, has been clearly a hallmark of the success of the business. And, you know, I think it's quite exciting to see the power of what StoneX can offer the Australian clientele base across, you know, a number of different things. And I think it's pretty, you know, when you look at what the future can be just on a local level for us here, it's exciting. And I think you'd probably attest to that on a more global scale as well.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of areas and achievements that we don't do a good enough job of highlighting. And so we're actually working on a marketing exercise where we're taking all of these, what I call superlatives, these achievements that should be broadcast to our client base so that they're aware that they may not deal with us in a particular product or a particular channel, but it will be interesting for them to know that in other areas, we may be the largest non-bank in the world in that product. You know, we may be the largest market maker of a particular, you know, asset class. And so, you know, things like that, we should be personally very proud of. But we probably need to do a better job of highlighting that to our clients. I mean, with the acquisition of RJ O'Brien, we become the largest non-bank FCM in the United States. And whilst we will be maybe the eighth or ninth largest FCM, every single FCM larger than us is a multi, you know, is an international bulge bracket bank. So, but we're nipping at the heels at the next few. And so, you know, there are areas where we can say we're the largest non-bank in various capacities. I mean, I would throw in from a physical precious metals bullion perspective, we're the largest non-bank transactor in that space globally. So it's things like that. We recognize it. We're very pleased and we're proud of it, but we need to do a better job of just, you know, dropping it into the conversations with our clients. So they know that, yes, they may feel, you know, Ripley, that you are the expert and you are the expert in cattle. You are the voice of the market. You're, you know, you're doing a huge job in, you know, providing hedging capability that just didn't exist before. So you're creating a market, you know, but your clients should also be aware of what it is that StoneX does.
Yes.
More about who their trusted partner is at the, you know, is not just Ripley. It is the whole of the StoneX ecosystem, which they may provide or may want to access in other forms or in other products as well.
And I think that's so, you know, exciting for just on a personal level for me to be able to work with, you know, local producers and the beef supply chain in Australia, but the client of StoneX and me, myself working, you know, in a local little market has the support and backing of a global business with that can help across a number of different things. Like, you know, we've spoken about that today. I think that's really powerful. And it just shows the capacity of StoneX to be connected at a really local level, but still offer everything and provide that, that whole of service across a broader scale. And I think it's very powerful, you know, in whatever we do. But I think to wrap it up, twofold to a question. First is, where do you see StoneX in the next 3 to 5 years? You know, we've spoken a bit about growth today and part of the goal and the vision within the StoneX ecosystem. And the second aspect to that as a follow-on would be, how are we going to continue to lead in the financial services industry at a global scale?
Well, I think we have a winning formula in that in every office across the organization, every employee, you hear the word servicing clients and customers as the most important integral part of everyone's business, everyone's livelihood. And I think as long as we never stop believing that the service we're providing to our clients will provide longevity of the business, longevity of our growth, mm-hmm. and the relationship we have with our clients and customers becoming multi-decade relationships is a recipe for success. And that's the key to what's made StoneX what it is today. We don't forget that. Never take advantage of your clients. Never forget that they're the reason you're sitting where you're sitting. Never forget that every dollar we make in StoneX comes from servicing clients. And I think as long as that mentality remains core to the company and to the employees who proudly work for StoneX, I think we'll be in good shape. And you know, our objective is to continue to be the premier one-stop shop ecosystem, that we become the go-to counterparty of choice for our clients and clients who have yet to begin working with us.
Unreal. Fantastic way to end. And I think it, you know, for me in that position, exciting to be able to contribute to that and be a part of that growth and support, you know, support the people we're so fortunate, to work with. But thanks for giving me a bit of your time today. It's great to have you on.
Thank you, Ripley. I'm pleased to be here.
Well, fantastic to have Philip, join us. Very fortunate that he's given us a bit of our time today. I got a fair bit out of that. Just interesting to get, you know, I've had a number of questions and people just wanting to understand it a bit more. And I'd great opportunity while he was here to grab him and have that conversation and get that broader perspective of StoneX as a business, and how it works for its clients. But I think to wrap up just quickly on the market side, there's been a couple of things at the minute. Probably the big one for me has been the mood of the market. You know, there's been some hot, dry weather in the last couple of weeks. Admittedly, there's a bit of rain on the forecast, but if we look backwards since our last episode, you know, you can certainly see some nervousness is probably what I'd call it creeping into the market. And it just shows how quickly sentiment can change on the back of seasonal conditions, you know, and the nature of spring and summer sort of arriving. On the back of that, you know, I just mentioned sentiment. Prices and, you know, performance of the market continue to ease and just soften a bit. That's across the board generally. But what I would say to that point is I think the market's finding itself back in a bit of balance. You know, if you consider how sentiment has shifted on the back of weather conditions and where prices are at the minute, I think if you wanted to isolate it to a region, the South may have more downside in it if rains don't deliver soon, because I know there's a number of producers down there starting to get quite concerned because of a spring probably not delivering as much as they need for a recovery from drought. That's important. But finally, I think the other thing which has sort of raised its head quite prominently in the last fortnight particularly has been the availability of paddock supply of Angus feeder steers. You know, we knew those cattle were there. We've known they've been there. They've just needed obviously some decent weather with some sort of more optimal grazing conditions, some grass to grow for those numbers, you know, or certainly the leads of those cattle to reach weight and be sold. And there's big numbers of them starting to move now, particularly out of the New England and northwestern New South Wales. And you've only got to look at price relationships. Admittedly, the crossbred feeder in Queensland's picked up a fair bit, but that spread of an Angus feeder relative to the Queensland crossbred feeder is now at 40 cents, which is its lowest level since April of this year. And that's back on late July, where the spread reached over a dollar. So the volume of Angus supply available to the feeders is pressuring that market. And you can see prices coming back as a result of it. And obviously that spread, which I talk about fairly regularly, tightening quite substantially. Now, by, you know, sort of November, December, wouldn't be surprised to see that spread, you know, in or under 20 cents a kilo, may even be less than 10, which it got to in November last year. And that spread then arrows to pretty much evens with that crossbred price. That's it for this week. Fantastic to hear from Philip. Very fortunate to, you know, to get his insights while he's here in Sydney. Plenty happening in the market. But I think to wrap it up, you know, people have had asked me in private about, you know, questions about StoneX. And today we've had the group CEO of the company join the podcast and get to hear his views. So if you do have any questions, reach out to me and we'll certainly get to answering them. Send me an email to ripley.atkinson@stonex.com or record a voice note of yourself on your phone, where you're from, the question, and I'll get to answering it in the next episode. I think today was really, you know, interesting and insightful. So, you know, to share the word, spread the word about this, make sure to share this podcast with any of your mates or people you feel might be interested in understanding StoneX, who we are and what we do a little better. Other than that, thank you for listening. Take care and we'll see you next time. Cheers.